Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Before we get to Jason, there is one more Carpless Talk and Text I would like to get to on the Carpless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Chef Ed saying, wow, thanks for ruining my breakfast. I now have the vision of Chewy in spandex. So, in case you're just joining us, that's what you missed in the first segment. You can always go back and listen later on Wisconsin On Demand. But right now, we welcome in our friend. We welcome in our teammate. We welcome in Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
I don't have to go back on Wisconsin On Demand. I have a listener.
But Jason, you're a guy that likes to try to wear shorts all year long, or do you?
I am, yes. One of the few things Brett Favre and I have in common. Just to recap, I mean, first of all, it is amazing to me that we have two Packers Hall of Famers on our team.
Yep.
And that both of them have this uncanny ability. They know football. There's no doubt about it. And on occasion, they even deliver insight about football. But more often than not, they're talking about something else. And you're sitting there at the beginning going, this guy's an idiot. And then you listen a little longer and you're like, no, he really isn't. This is really good and this is really interesting. At least that's the experience I had during the first 22 minutes of the program. So, well, I am on Team Gabe first, that I only own two pairs of jeans. By the way, your golf pants are probably dressier than anything anyone else would wear, right? So those are great.
Aside from the ones that have wacky logos.
Yes. Outside of those, sure. Although I have worn some to fancier occasions.
Went to a wedding, had my ESPN Milwaukee golf pants on. Everybody loved them.
Well, Jason, I think it all stems from the job we had where I literally wore the sweats that I would get from Red Batty home and then wear them back again the next morning. Greatest job in the world.
Let's give people a little insight into the equipment room. There's also something that the guys call some grays. They call them grays.
Which
are gray, free gray, poorly constructed boxer brief style underwear.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And throughout my career, the number of times a guy who is at his locker asks a guy who is walking to the equipment room, which they're renovating right now, along with the locker room, by the way, hey, give me some grays. And you guys don't even like buy your. Now, I will say today's players, there's a lot of fancy schmancy, expensive underwear that they wear, colorful patterns and whatever else. But there's a bunch of cheapskates like Chewy that love the free underwear along with the free sweatpants and the free quarter zip or hoodie or whatever else. So, and I, spending as much time in a locker room as I do, you know, I was a very early adopter of, I'm going to dress like these guys. Don't fill out the shirt quite the same way. A little more like an offensive lineman, a little less like the Adonises that walk the room elsewhere. But I am always wearing shorts. I have those two pairs of jeans just like Gabe. And I finally, after all these years, have found a track pant or a running pant that is tapered at the bottom but doesn't make my catcher's legs in the calf area look enormous and doesn't have the, to quote you, bunge in the crotchal region.
It's important to avoid, Jason. Very important to avoid.
Yeah, the problem is they're a Nike pants. I mean, you guys are giving out free advertising.
Yeah, right.
Popcorn today, so... but they don't make it anymore. So I had to find, I found this one pair at a Goodwill and then I had to find a style number. And now I have like a saved search on eBay for every time these pants become available so I can stock up because they're the only track pant that I'll wear. All the other ones are either bell-bottomy at the bottom or your the aforementioned crotchal region issue. So this has been extremely instructive. If people tuned in for Packers talk, they were sorely disappointed. But, hey, it's the NCAA tournament. The Packers aren't signing anybody beyond Mecole Hardman, it would appear, so you're not really missing much.
So this is how it works, Jason, in case the people were wondering. You get, and you know, because you've seen, you know, the bins and stuff. So you get like a perforated bag, right? It's like a mesh bag that you put your compression shorts in, your shorts, your socks, anything in there except for your jersey.
That gets the laundry bag. Separate.
The laundry bag.
It's got a number on it.
So what we would do in college. What we do in college is we'd put our underwear in there, because the worst thing in college is doing laundry. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd put your essentials in there and have, you know, the training staff wash that stuff for you. And then in college, we got in trouble for stealing towels from the hotels you stayed in.
Because there are nice towels.
Because after a while, your towels start to stink. And once again, no one wants to do laundry, so we got in trouble doing that.
So, but it's actually a really good Coughlin? System.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could say, I mean, that doesn't surprise. I'm guessing other coaches might have let the towels slide.
They didn't, because then the hotel was billing the team, and we got, and that was a 5 a.m.
How many towels were you taking?
Well, one a week, right? I mean, how often do you wash your towel? I go a week.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. That's fair.
About a week?
I live with three people that apparently think they live in a hotel because they use their towels once.
Yeah, it's trash.
And I use mine for at least a week and probably too long. So as the laundry person, it is incredible how many towels I do in a given week, given that this is not a Marriott.
Yeah, so what? I mean, how many towels do you own?
Well, I do laundry. I always do at least one load of laundry during the day. Again, I don't want to make any assumptions. I love the girls and I love Paula very much, but I don't think they appreciate the level of laundry they generate. In fact, yesterday, UW Oshkosh women were playing in the Final Four, and that was a two-hour game, and I had generated so much clean laundry that I had not folded that I was able to watch the entire game while sorting and folding. And by the time I got to the end, I had about four pieces of laundry and everything else belonged to someone else in my house.
Jason, we were talking to Kevin Harlan yesterday, and a big part of the conversation was about his dad, who I know you love him. I love him. I don't know a person that's ever said a disparaging word about Bob Harlan. But it got me to thinking, is there going to be a noticeable difference when Ed Policy takes over for Mark Murphy?
Well, there will be for me, because the president will talk to me.
Presumably. At least have a chance of talking to you.
No, Ed and I have I am going to always be critical when I feel it's fair, whether that's about ticket prices or them trying to stop paying taxes to the city of Green Bay. But I think, you know, I've had a ton of really good conversations with Ed. I like him. And if I fundamentally disagree, I think we can disagree without being disagreeable. And look, I think Mark Murphy, from a financial standpoint, has done an outstanding job. And he got both of his hires right. They haven't won a Super Bowl yet, but the GM was a good hire and the coach was a really good hire. So I don't think Mark Murphy has had a bad run. I do think he is prone to verbal missteps, but I think he's done a very, very good job. That said, I think, you know, I still have questions about whether the structure is the best one, because the whole idea was to eliminate the silos that had existed, and I don't think that those in any way have been truly eliminated. So
I heard you talking a little bit about that, I think it was yesterday on KBN, Jason, where there used to be a pretty, and again, if anything I say here is incorrect, please step in and correct me.
where they're especially since they are always trying to prick me into a sound graph, and I have to have all these people on Twitter tell me what an idiot I am. So yeah, please.
But there used to be a large, a fairly large divide between LaFleur and Gutekunst, and you think that has kind of shrunken down. So with policy, is that going to be part of his job to make sure that there's not really a gap between the head coach and GM because they do both report to him?
Yeah, so the issue that I have with that conversation, and I said it to those knuckleheads, was that basically, look, I don't know where that relationship is right now because I haven't talked to Matt about it. And I think Goody is, again, a lot like Ted. Like, I think he's an old scout, not as old as Ted was, obviously. And he just grinds on players and evaluations and the personnel side. I think he's strong with personnel, and he's not as strong with personnel, if that's fair.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think that, you know, whereas, because they were asking about these other NFL coaches, like the role that Kevin O'Connell has in Minnesota deciding what they're going to do at quarterback. Like, I still don't believe that the Rodgers thing is dead. Like, I'm looking at that as we're going to see what J.J. McCarthy looks like in the spring. You don't like to come to the offseason program anyway, and we'll make it work for you. But if he doesn't look good to us, you know, stay by your phone for FaceTime calls since you don't get any reception in Malibu. But my point is that they were asking, you know, these coaches seem to be part of the conversation a lot more. And I don't know if that has changed or not in terms of the way LaFleur and Goody talk about personnel moves. But once upon a time, it was suboptimal, right? I mean, it just wasn't. It was clear that Goody was making decisions and LaFleur had little to no input, and if he did have input, oftentimes it was ignored. And look, Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren didn't always see eye to eye on players either, especially that idiot tight end they drafted in the sixth round back in 1992. But Ron always said, look, I'm never going to give you a guy that you absolutely do not want. And I think that that's a reasonable thing, but I would argue that collaboration is much more productive. And I just don't think, you know, again, this is not something I've discussed with LaFleur as of late, but I know once upon a time he didn't feel like his opinion was valued. And maybe that has, since these guys have now been together going on, what is this going to be, LaFleur's seventh year as the coach?
Yes.
That's, by the way, that's how long Holmgren was the coach. To put that in perspective.
Oh, wow.
So I would hope that there would be a greater level of collaboration now than there was early on.
I think that's
fair. Do you think deep down, though, LaFleur wants that power? Because Holmgren
left
after 7 years because he wanted the power of GM and head coach.
I don't want to speak for Matt, but I don't think he wants that power. What I think he wants is to be part of the process. And maybe he is now. So, or maybe he is to a greater degree. But again, he's not going to the NFL scouting combine. So to me, when coaches don't go to that, that would indicate to me, and maybe I'm assuming incorrectly, but that would indicate to me that their say in personnel is not optimal. Now, I don't think Sean McVay goes, and Sean McVay obviously works really well with Les Snead, so that's not necessarily true of their relationship. But again, I believe in collaboration. I want to have conversations with everybody, and it doesn't mean I'm going to take everybody's advice the same. Doesn't mean I'm going to do something that you ask me to do because I collaborated with you. If I think something is a better idea, I'm going to go with that. But I think it's important for people to feel included. And that their opinion matters. And maybe that is now the case. But early on in their tenure, you know, 19, 20, 21, I don't think that there was that feeling. While Rodgers was sitting there going, you know, they don't care what I think. You know, I wonder how much Matt LaFleur could identify with that feeling.
Jason, always appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing more of it coming up. Wildy and Tausch starts at 9 a.m. here on 94.5 ESPN.
All right, fellas. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are going to get to our weekly conversation with Craig Karmazin coming up next. But I do want to tell you that you should be making plans to stop by Bunzl's this week and grab some of these homemade specials. Frozen Canadian walleye fillets, $14.99 a pound. Bunzl's homemade fresh stuffed pork tenderloins are $7.99 a pound. The marinated chicken wings, which are fantastic, but do come in a bunch of different flavors. Bourbon, buffalo, California garlic, Louisiana Bayer flavored. Those are $6.89 a pound. Bone-in pork steaks are $3.99 a pound. I talk about them each and every week. Great family-owned and operated company that provides amazing homemade food. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been on the road doing some vacation stuff, Vegas, Florida, the last couple of weeks. I am going to go to Bunzl's this weekend, and I cannot wait to be able to make some homemade Bunzl's food because, again, their quality, to me, is a step above everybody else. Bunzl's, 90th and Burleigh. Find all their weekly specials and more. Bunzl's.com.